post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
And we're talking local football with on the Near Post show. My name's Eamon Flanagan. If you've just joined us, Aaron Walker is with us in the studio, and Danny Marlowe. And we're going to talk first of all, we'll have the Fed Cup scores later on in the show, but we're also going to talk about the Socceroos, the day the Socceroos came to Canberra. I don't think, were anybody alive when the Socceroos last came to Canberra?
When was it? 80-something?
Yeah, well, actually, no, it was 96, I think, and I was alive. I was at the game, of course. Went up there before. I think it was played either after or before the Canberra Cosmos game in those days, and there was 9,000 people there. It was a Oceania World Cup qualifier.
Ooh.
I was on the edge of my seat.
Who were they playing, Darren?
I have no idea. I think it was Tahiti. Some say it was Vanuatu.
It was
Tahiti.
Yeah, did
5-0. All I can remember is the name Chris Trajanowski. I remember nothing else about the game. I just remember Chris Trajanowski. And we won 5-0. It was a hot day. And, there was 9,000 people. So when you think about it, 9,000 people to watch Tahiti. Mm. When people said, we've got this game in Canberra, they said, I was doing the maths, as you can imagine. I'm thinking, if we've got 9,000 to watch Tahiti, we're going to get more than, 20,000 to watch the Socceroos. And we did. 20,032.
The question is Arcuate that much worse than Tahiti?
They're way better than Tahiti. Tahiti are absolutely rubbish.
Really? I've never seen them play.
Yeah. I mean, Kuwait hit the post. They had a bit of flair going forward from Tahiti, didn't they? They ran Craig Moore, the ex-Rangers player, ragged. There was all sorts going on out there. I think they only had one forward and he seemed to take up most of our four defenders. So Kuwait were, they weren't that good. I think people were saying Kuwait were fantastic. They had some individual ball skills, but they weren't brilliant, were they?
I don't know. I didn't think they were outstanding.
No. But they sort of did test this.
There's only really one thing that you have to say, and that's that they were better.
So they were better,
that's
yeah.
You need to be, don't
okay.
You need to be
now, what about it then, guys? You walked up there. Danny, you've been in Canberra for 7 years, Australia for 7 years. Aaron, have you lived in Canberra all your life?
Yeah, most of it.
So how was it then as a Canberran, Aaron, to walk up there, 20,000 people in a football crowd? What were your thoughts?
Absolutely spectacular, and I've never seen anything like it. And this is going back to the Cosmos days where I'd sit down with eight other people and watch the game. So,
and you still couldn't find me in the crowd at the Cosmos. Yeah. But it was. I just took some time out before the game just to, just look at the people, because you don't get that that much chance. And just to see the diversity of the people and also the Socceroos gear that was worn by people. Mm. I just didn't know that so many people in Canberra had that sort of gear. Because I've never seen people really, in any numbers wearing. There's a huge crowd of people actually wearing the gear.
Absolutely, and I was drinking at a pub before the game, and we were just looking at all the tables, and everyone was just in green and yellow, waiting for the bus to pick them up. And I was just thinking, you wouldn't got this 5 years ago.
No, it's a changed time, isn't it? And I think that's one of the things I've been saying with the A-League bid as well. It's a changed time, and a lot of people still criticise and say, and mainly older men. I've got a category of men. Some of them are over 40, but there's it can't work in Canberra, the A-League. It can't. But I think what the game showed the other night is the potential. I'm not saying that for a minute that's the crowd we're going to get for an A-League game, but it shows, I think that's the crowd we'll get for the first game.
No, I think the Canberra bid, should it be successful, and we all pray that it will, needs to model itself more or less on the Central Coast Mariners template. They're a local community team. They get crowds of 9,000-10,000, and they're happy with that. That's a great turnout for a town like Gosford, and it's a great turnout for a town like Canberra. So I think we can,
in the sense the Central Coast have got bigger crowds from time to time with, various events that they put on, and the Socceroos game the other night, I think, showed the potential for Canberra, and I think we can easily get more than, I think we can be better modelled than the Central Coast. I think we've got a bigger population base. We've got more people interested in the game, and I think the game the other night showed that there's a strong potential to get good crowds. Danny, what were your thoughts as you?
It was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I echo both of your sentiments. One thing that I probably shouldn't enjoy, but I'll be honest, and that is that there were a lot of people who turned up to the game late, or at least they sat. They did take the advice that had been out there about getting to the turnstiles early, and about 5 minutes before the game, I left the main area to get to my seat, and I just had a look at the turnstiles, and there were queues all the way past the AIS Arena, and something about that was, it just felt fantastic. It felt like there were 100,000 people trying to get in for the World Cup final. Mm. Okay, I might be, stretching a little bit, but
only a little bit. But
a little bit. Yeah, but yeah. It really, really made you feel like you were part of something big, something
formative in terms of the whole kind of Canberra football history.
And I think you're right. Well, it was a historic night, wasn't it? And we haven't had a game of that level. And it showed that now, with us being in Asia, the FFA will certainly consider coming back to Canberra. Why wouldn't they? I mean, I spoke to people from KPMG who were doing a review of the stadium, which I don't think is confidential. I mean, perhaps the details are, but they were talking to the Brumbies and the Raiders and the A-League about the possibilities for the future. But one of the guys there was an English man, and he said, and they've done stadiums like the Allianz in Germany and Dunedin down in wherever it is, New Zealand, where they're going to put a roof on the stadium, apparently. He's also done the Bolton Stadium, the Arsenal Stadium, you name it. But he was saying, I said, well, what did you think of the atmosphere? And he said, there was no atmosphere. And I said, well, you're wrong. I said it is different to an English club where you might get 20,000 thugs standing, chanting, you know, whatever. But I said, I thought there was a great atmosphere because I've watched football in Canberra over the last 20 years, and often you've gone there. I remember watching the Sydney Olympics and the Matildas played, and there was 25,000 in there. And, I mean, really, there was no one. No one knew when to cheer or when not to cheer, whereas I think everybody last night, or last Thursday, knew when to cheer. You know, they knew when the guy went diving around, they'd give him a bird. And when referee made a decision, the old Aussie bullshit chant went up. And when the ball went, you know, in the second half, although perhaps it wasn't a great performance, the tension there, the people wanted Australia to win. And then when the ball went towards the goal, you know, there was a real feeling, I thought. What did you think, Aaron?
Well, I think they're probably comparing that to very historical crowds in Germany and England and places like that that have got 150 years of football under their belts. Australia in general is still very much on a football learning curve when it comes to watching football. I was up in Brisbane to watch Australia play Iraq in the first round of the World Cup qualifying. There was 52,000 people there. You could hear a pin drop. We're just, as a nation, we're just not in tune with that kind of sporting following.
I think also it's a different crowd. I mean, we're a very family-based crowd compared to, you know, a bunch of males in perhaps Europe. And I think that makes a difference. But no, I thought some of the fantastic comments I heard from the game was a seven-year-old walking into the stadium. How do I get to be a Socceroo? And then Marco Caputo, who, of course, is a former Wallaby, his son Joey, who plays football, and his daughter also plays football. Joey was going to a party on that night, an eight-year-old's party. And apparently the people who were hosting the party said, oh, we're not having the party. We're actually taking everybody to the Socceroos game. Now, that to me was significant because when I think, you know, of an eight-year-old or seven-year-old playing running around in Canberra, they've never had the opportunity to see any professional football. So there's all these kids running around, but they've had no real aspiration. They can look at Manchester United or, you know, crappy Liverpool or somebody like that, but they've got no aspiration. They've had no opportunity to be the star in their own seven-year-old aspiring to get into Canberra Stadium to play for the Socceroos. And I think an A-League team would certainly change that, but I think that night changed it for a lot of kids because they see the rugby league and they see the, you know, the union and whatever, but they've never had that opportunity. So we have all these kids running around, but there's no focus for them in Canberra, really. And yeah. So hearing those comments alone showed me that, you know, there's great potential. And I think we're only just at the beginning, really.
Yeah, if I could just add, Eamon, I was talking to a lot of the families before the game. And it wasn't just the young boys, it was the young girls as well. And they were talking about the W League and how suddenly there's something that's very tangible for them to get hold of. So they've already got that with the Women's League. The girls can aspire to, you know, being these, you know, top footballers. And let's hope that there could be the same thing for the guys as well.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, let's think about the women's side of the game. Obviously, you'd expect the girls' registration to grow over the next 5 years, as it's supposed to be anyway. So as Canberra United have succeeded already in their first season, if an A-League team came in as well, I mean, really, it would change the sporting sort of scenery in Canberra, wouldn't it? You know, if we had a Socceroos every 2 years, imagine, and just imagine for a moment, the next time the Socceroos come, Timmy Cahill's playing. Now, the tickets would sell out in a night, wouldn't they? And, you know, the more games we get where we get A-League Socceroos, I think we have more potential to, you know, when the Socceroos do play, let's say they're playing at Oman in November, you know, in the Asian qualifier, well, all the overseas players are going to come back, or a lot of them. So, you know, why not? One time down the track, we'll see those guys playing here. And, you know, we won't have to go and watch Matt Simon or Matty Mackay.
Oh, Matt Mackay's a good player.
He's a good player. You support York City, don't you? He's a good player. Is he really a good player? Come on, I'm not letting you away with that. I've watched Matty Mackay and his mate, Maximo Mudoka, and they run around like headless chooks, and they're fantastic for the O-League, and I like them. They're not international players, are they?
Oh, no, they're not international players, and very few in the A-League are. I think they do a fantastic job for Queensland.
They do a fantastic job for Queensland. How many of those players that played the other night are international players, do you think?
Well, you could argue that at least 11 of them now.
That's a good point, Danny. I agree with you, because what people say, well, none of them. But you see, if I was that player, people go, oh, you know, it's not. If that was you walking out there playing for Australia, how fantastic is that? My daughter went out as a mascot, and she was over the moon. She was the mascot of Archie Thompson. So it was a real. But you know,
what number is she?
I think she was
37.
But for all those guys, if they never play for Australia again, they played there in front of a packed house, and they played for Australia. Now, any kid or any lad running around football, I mean, do people really need to criticise that? Wouldn't the Narrabunda fourth, is that what team you're in, Aaron? I don't know.
Two's this year.
Oh, man. Sorry.
That's stepping up.
You're just like the Socceroos. Anyone gets a gig up the league. So, I mean, wouldn't you love to have been going out there playing?
Oh, I think I'd have been a bit scared. Maybe if I was a bit better, I wouldn't mind.
But, you know, the point is that it's an opportunity, and they are Australia's best on the night, and they play against Kuwait. Mm. And they didn't step up, so presumably they'll get the chop, but there you go. So any other thoughts on the atmosphere or the game or the historic occasion?
I thought it was fantastic that you just saw everyone from Australia's Canberra's football community out. I've been involved, as you have, Eamon, in Canberra football for 20 years now. And so you get to know the characters. And I think looking around at the people that are in the crowd, you saw everyone that you'd been involved with, from your under-sevens coach to the guy that you see playing in Div 7 in your own club. Everyone was there.
That was funny. I mean, I've been to a lot of games, you know, where I know. I don't know.
It was 20,000 people. I think I recognised 19,000 of them.
And I'd sent emails to about 60. 16,000 then come to the game, but that was a. I mean, I was the same. It was just there was just so many people you knew. I mean, as a former teacher in Canberra, I mean, there was loads of students. There's one guy I remember when the A League started, and he was in my economics class. He was probably about 16 at the time. I won't name him, but I went to the first game with Sydney and Melbourne. There was 20,000-30,000 there or whatever it was, and he says, "Ah, the A League." He said, "Rubbish, you know, Barcelona or Liverpool or Man United." And he was going on. And he's saying, "Nah, never take off. Australian soccer, you know, the whole bit." Here he is, first in line for his ticket to the Watch the Game the other night. So, yeah, how things have changed. The fact that he was willing to get out there and support. So, no, it was great. And, yeah, you just knew everybody. It was fantastic.
Also, if I could just add, it wasn't just the atmosphere on the night and all the people coming through the gate and all the support and the kind of vocal behaviour of the crowd. It was the build-up before. I mean, even a week before, I had friends and colleagues saying to me, "Oh, you're going to the game, you know, where do I get tickets, you know, this person's going, that person's going." And it was kind of that one degree of separation that you kind of get in Canberra. Everyone knows everyone. And there really was a buzz about it. And I haven't experienced that in my time here in Canberra. And that was really something special.
No, I mean, I was sort of so excited. People were coming around. Obviously, we had some tickets to give away. But a number of people came around from the community to pick up the tickets. And you could see these grown men with sort of, you know, tears in their eyes almost saying, "They've sold 18,000 tickets." Mm. And we're all standing there going, "Yeah, we're going to be going to watch a game of football with a crowd." It's like... this can't be real. I've been here 20 years. I've never seen a game other than the Matildas.
I don't think a lot of my friends expected them to sell that many tickets, because I bought 8 tickets, which was the maximum you could buy, and I assumed, oh, yeah, I'll sell them all. And right up until the day, I still had, like, 8 tickets or minus mine and my girlfriend's, and no one really wanted them. I thought, geez, I might get stumped here with a bit of a bill. But then about half an hour before the game, I had about 30 calls from guys going, "Have you got any tickets left? Have you got any tickets left? Have you got any tickets left?" I think I could have sold my 8 tickets about 10 times over.
Wow, which just goes to show. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? People want to get onto a good thing, and I think it's like a little bit like the A-League bid, you know, all the camera cosmos, you know, I don't want to be the first to put my hand up to support that, because, you know, sticking my neck out, and I don't want to be a failure. But then when they see the momentum, and then when they see the crowd the other night, and then they slowly but surely go, oh, okay, you know, slowly but surely more and more people are coming on board to see that, you know, it can work and it will work. I think Thursday, and also what the Thursday night crowd gave us, not only did it tell the FFA that we can get a crowd, it also tells us, you know, when you go out to the community, you can say, well, hang on, we can get a crowd for football, because that's always been a big thing. And you still get some knockers who say, oh yeah, but that was the Socceroos, but you know, there's always going to be those. But before that night, you say, oh, you can never get a crowd for football. Now they're saying, oh yeah, but that was the Socceroos. So, you know, you just keep chipping away.
One step at a time.
One step at a time, and just, we don't mind that. Now, just on a note of, you know, I met Frank Lowy. I got to shake Frank's hand. So on behalf of the football community, I thanked him for everything he'd done for football, because without Frank, Well, yeah, we'd still be watching, waiting for the Coma Cosmos to come back.
What was that game where Bresciano scored that scissor kick where, well, I think we were playing Bahrain in Sydney?
Yeah.
I went to that game and one of my friends that I had the tickets for was late and I missed that goal because he was late and we missed the first 5 minutes and I had the tickets. And then we went in and as we were walking to our seats, we saw Frank Lowy walking past in the corridor and we decided to stop and introduce ourselves. And
good on you.
I don't think he was that impressed.
Well, I'm sure he was impressed to meet me. I'm sure he was. Well, he looked impressed.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah. You're listening to The Near Post on 2XX 98.3 FM. We're talking rubbish mostly, but we're talking football and we're talking Socceroos. We're going to talk about the A-League bid. Obviously, it was a big night for the Socceroos. It was a big night for the crowd. But underneath all that, there was a fantastic turnout. And, you know, I'd like to think that turnout was partly not just for the Socceroos, but obviously for the A-League bid support. There was a lot of media coverage before the event. I thought there was. Did you guys think that in terms of...
I saw a lot, yep.
There was a fair bit out there compared to other games that we've had.
Absolutely.
And Couch Creative did a big... they did a lot of work there for us, which was fantastic. The early bid, we had a meeting with the FFA on Friday, the day after the game. They thanked us for their for our help to get the crowd. Interestingly, there was about 3 corporate boxes sold on the night and the FFA sold the corporate side of the game. So we told them we could have done a bit better because it was amazing. If you looked up at the corporate boxes, there was none. There was nothing sold, hardly.
Did 2B Advertising buy one? Because I used to work there and I asked my friend to come to the game with me and he said I wanted to buy a corporate box. I'm not sure if we went through with it.
What was the name of it?
2B Advertising and Design.
Don't know. There were so few sold that, I mean, obviously the FFA controlled that, so they didn't do a particularly great job there. Now, 20,000 people, so the FFA were delighted with that turnout. We had our meeting with the FFA on Friday and as people will probably know, on the bid project manager. So we went, how did we go? Well, you know, you can't say too much in these matters, but we certainly... well, they did say we ticked all the boxes. They said it was the best prepared bid they'd ever seen, so I take that as a personal compliment. But also, I think what we did... There's no doubt in my mind that the FFA want Western Sydney.
I was about to raise the other point. You might not be able to speak, Eamon, because you're part of the bid, but I'm not, so I can.
You can say what you want. Go for it.
First, they had the announcement over which teams were going to come in February. And then they scheduled it for March, and now they've rescheduled it to June. And they've said our bid is fantastic. Our bid is ready. No other bids are ready. All those Western Sydney, Wollongong, they're still getting their act together. And I just think the FFA are just buying them time to get their act together so that they can take their preferred Western Sydney bid. And I don't like that at all.
You don't? Have you heard anything about the Western Sydney bid? Because I know that you're a follower of football fan sites and football pages. And, you know, you, probably like myself, Aaron, would have... what have you heard about the Western Sydney bid?
Last I heard was when Lucas Neal was snapped in camp in Dubai with AC Milan. And there was a lot of rumours going about that he was about to sign with AC Milan. But it turned out that he was over in Dubai scouting Western Sydney contributors to finance his Western Sydney bid because he is one of the figureheads and he's one of the people putting money in. And so their bid isn't ready. They haven't got the money. They're still out there looking for money. They haven't got a stadium deal. They don't know what they're doing. But I just feel the FFA really wants them. It is the heartland of Australian football out there. They really know the potential and they're just giving them time to get their bid together. And I don't like that one bit because we are ready now. We can do it now. And they've seen what football can do here.
The, I mean, it is the heartland. It is the biggest football area in the country. Western Sydney, and also it's linked in, I think, to Fox Sports. I mean, basically, if you're up in Townsville at the moment, I've sent up one of my Canberra spies up to Townsville, and he's moved into the region to live there for a little while, and he's trying to get his daughter signed up into football, and one's under 15, a lad's under 11. There's 5 girls' football teams.
Oh, you're kidding.
In the whole of Townsville. For that age group compared to what we have here in Canberra. And he said in the under-11s, I think he's the girls and boys are playing together because they've only got one team. Wow. Under-11s. So, you know, you sort of think, well...
That's terrible.
But he did say, well, interestingly, he said the Foxtel push into North Queensland at the moment, he said, it is unbelievable, the amount of Foxtel coverage that they're trying to sell. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why, because there is no logic to going to Townsville from a population point of view.
No. I was very surprised.
Look, I think what they're suggesting is that Canberra market with the Brumbies, the Foxtel penetration is probably where it's at. So a new team coming here wouldn't necessarily increase the Foxtel viewing audience. I don't know whether that's, you know, but Western Sydney presumably. They want a game in Western Sydney every weekend and in Melbourne. Because if you have a game in those cities, you get media coverage. Obviously, there's more viewers to watch those teams. So that means they can get a bigger TV deal. Having said that, Western Sydney aren't ready. What are they going to do? They're not going to play with 11 teams, are they?
No, but they're going to delay the decision until they can get their act together and keep harassing them, cracking the whip and saying...
They might. I mean, okay, what about the other argument that... I mean, they didn't say this, but I wonder whether they'll go away and come back in 3 weeks in their own time.
I would hope so. I think that'd be fantastic. I think the Canberra bid is ready. There's nothing more we can do. It's done now. It's just a matter of FFA.
I mean, that was quite, that was a bit of a relief, actually. Ben Buckley did say that there's nothing more we can ask you to do. And I thought, phew, I'm probably fixed up. I'm sick of pledges and I'm sick of... So I thought, well, that's good. So, I mean, obviously, we can always get more money from an investor point of view, foundation members. That they're probably the two things that we can continue to chase. But in terms of the grassroots support, they said it's the best prepared bid that they've seen. And that's a credit to all our volunteers and all the people involved who put in their energy and time to support that. So, and in terms of the AIS agreement, we've got the Canberra Stadium agreement, the Canberra University agreement as another training venue, the offices we've got negotiated.
And the women's team as well?
Their women's team. They were sort of interested in that. They didn't really push that point. I mean, there is a strong... I suppose they see it as separate in terms of finances, in terms of, you know...
So would we be Canberra United if the bid got up?
My thoughts would be we would, because basically Canberra, the A-League choose the team, and you couldn't think that they're going to kick that. They've built up that brand with Canberra United, right. So you'd see. And to my way of thinking, I don't mind.
I really like,
you know,
it.
I think, well, I think Sydney FC is Sydney FC, and the women's team have become Sydney FC. So what if we follow the women? Good stuff. I mean, Canberra United have created a brand.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all love Canberra United, and I think that's a natural way to go. Mm. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Nice colours as well. Very unique, and I like the strip as well, a lot.
Capital Punishment raised an eyebrow.
They didn't like it. Well, I thought it might get a bit political when I first heard it.
There was just it's just a throwaway line, and I don't think this is too controversial, but they basically just said it might cause problems with other fan groups down the track.
Kind of had that issue when we went to Sydney to see Perth play, and we took a contingent of 50 or so people from Canberra wearing the Capital Punishment shirts, and there was a lot of confusion about what that actually was about, whether it was supporting a Canberra A-League bid or,
or something different. Protest.
So, that's right.
And
that's
think also, team in the Canberra Centre, when we got people sign up, people were signing up Capital, they thought we were trying to get them to support Capital Punishment. So there is an issue there, obviously, but I think that was a minor issue. I'm sure that can be, well, you just have to obey the FFA rules anyway. There's nothing else you can do, is there?
I think you only really get the struggles between the Sydney and the Melbourne fans because they're the big two teams. I don't think you get that with any other teams.
No, I don't. Certainly not from Canberra. I can't see that.
See that from Canberra. No. One question, though, Amy, I'll put it to you maybe. We talk about the Western Sydney bid and where that is with respect to the Canberra bid and how that's the heartland of football in Australia. Well, I've heard a lot about the fact that, you know, Australia really needs to have a capital team in its domestic league for it to really be taken seriously on the international stage. We're talking about, you know, future World Cup bids. I mean, surely that carries some favour with the FFA, don't you think?
It's a good point. I'm not convinced. I think it comes down to money. I think if we had $12 million, they might say yeah. Because then if we made a loss, they know that there's, you know, Clive Palmer, $12 million. I mean, he only needed $12 million. He didn't need to do anything else. So, I think the money is an important angle. I think from the World Cup point of view, they'll play games here anyway. Last night proved that, or Thursday night proved that. They don't need to have a team in town to get, you know, if you've got Ireland versus, Italy, you're going to fill the stadium, aren't you? You don't need to have an A-League team in town. So, and I think for them, it's all about the dosh. And having said that, a lot of the A-League clubs, if you look at Newcastle Jets, they don't know where they're training from 1 week to the next. The Central Coast have got pretty dodgy facilities. Perth, I mean, they're all over the place. Adelaide are just about to be taken over by the FFA. So there's a lot of clubs not going so well. Townsville don't have a stadium agreement. You know, and the facilities that we've got in place and the relationship between the stadium and the A-League bid, because it's obviously government-owned, government-based, and they want the team in town. Our facilities are absolutely fantastic. I mean, they're world-class, aren't they? Canberra Stadium, AIS, University absolutely. Of Canberra. You know, so what we can offer is an absolutely fantastic football infrastructure. So if you're a coach or a player and you've got a choice of where to go, some people say, oh, the beach. Yeah, of course the beach is important, but at the end of the day, do you want to play on a paddock in Townsville or, in Newcastle where you don't know where you're training from? You know, apparently in Perth, they had to ring you up the day before and say, oh, we'll let you know tomorrow. where we're training.
No.
So they send right. they send a text message to players, and players often don't read the text message. That's the level of professionalism at some of the clubs. So when you see what Canberra has to offer, I think we're very enticing. And also we have government support. So I'm a bit like you, Danny. I like to think that emotionally and, you know, intelligence-wise, we need the capital in there, but it's all about money. It's just pure business. Having said that, can they afford to turn away an area that is so well prepared? And region of 700,000 people, you want to grow the game. This is one of the key areas where you're going to grow it. If you're going to go to 14 teams, I can't see how we can possibly go to 14 teams without Canberra. Western Sydney will always come again, won't they? You know, if they don't get in this time, they'll come again. Canberra may not. So, and who knows, maybe they're just waiting, you know. Maybe they'll come back in a few weeks, do their own assessment and realise. So anyway, we gave it a good shot. We now wait and wait. So, yeah, well, we'll see. And I think the Socceroos game certainly helps with the crowd. Any final thoughts on all of that stuff?
No, I think we summed it up pretty well.
Okay, we sorted that one. So Ben Buckley, get on with it, put us in. Now, Fed Cup. Aaron, first of all, are you playing football at the moment, or what's your story? Down in Div 2? Up in Div 2.
Up in Div 2. Now, yeah. Well, our Div 2 team actually has played a couple of games, but I was overseas in New Zealand, so I missed them all. But, yeah, I'm not playing the Fed Cup. No, that's our Div 1 team.
What happens in Div 2? Do you have friendlies before the start of the season?
Well, we keep playing against the Div 4 team.
Okay, you just keep playing against them. Okay.
And they knocked us over last time as well. So,
yeah. Oh, well, maybe you should go back to Div 4. Okay, so Fed Cup, we've got some scores there from the weekend.
Yep, I'll start with the one that I went and watched, which was my own very own Narrabundah to go play Deakin. We went down 6-0, which was... expected, I guess.
How did Tim Skinner go? I know, near post host, far post host.
He was in Queensland helping his grandmother move, so he missed the game, as well as a couple of other key players for us. I don't think it mattered. We were never going to beat Deakin.
Dedication, Tim. Hey, dedication. Queanbeyan 4, Woden Valley 3.
Yep, and that puts the latter in a very precarious spot because Narrabundah can still qualify.
They can still make it. I believe that's so. I saw that debate going on the World Game Forum. Some people was writing about Narrabundah. I thought, yep. There you go. Who could that be?
Yeah, and so if we win the last game and Woden go down against Deakin as you would expect, it'll come down to goal difference. And I think as long as we win by 2, I think we'll do it.
I love the optimism. I love it. In the other group, O'Connor Knights defeated Woden rivals 7-0 and Southern Tablelands STFA beat it Canberra FC PPL team 7-1. So good result for Goulburn.
They're an excellent team, their Goulburn team. They're very good. They've got that Daniel Leafy who played in the Cosmos and then went over to the Wollongong Wolves for a while. And he's just back in Goulburn now because his dad's the coach. He scored 35 goals in 18 matches in Div 1 last year.
And his dad, Carlo, helped us get... He got 900 pledges for Goulburn.
Oh,
and
wow.
He said he'd love an A-League team because he said he spent half his life taking his kids around to play in Sydney and whatever, and he said it was a waste of time because they need a local team. So he spent thousands of dollars on that. So good on you, Carlo, and good on you, Daniel. And next up, Tuggeranong 1, Russ Gibbs won't be happy. Tuggeranong United 1 got thumped by Bell Collins. Scotty Conlon thumped his old club. Canberra Olympic and A and U drew 0-0. Interesting one. I'll come back to that one in a minute. Canberra City 2, White Eagles 2, and Actas beat Western Creek 1-0. A and UFC intrigued me this year, Aaron.
Apparently they've put a whole new team in. They've got them out of the AIS, something like that.
Yeah, John Mitchell's coaching, and he's got, not necessarily out of the AIS, but he's certainly got a lot of boys from the ACTAS program.
No, yep, sorry, that's what
so,
I meant. Yep.
And I'm intrigued by the because they're coaching them, they're training, they've been doing training since November, they've been doing gym work, they've been doing training 5 times a week. Look, if the youth team comes off, it's guys like that that will be ready to roll
and
into our youth
team. Is it 100% new team? Because that's what I hear, and their old Premier League team has now dropped into Div 1.
Well, anybody was invited to play. But, you know, if you couldn't start training in November or you didn't want to, most of them really said they didn't want to play at that level in terms of that commitment. So it's fantastic. It lifts the standard of football in Canberra and the standard of preparation. They got a 0-0 with Canberra Olympic. That would probably have been unheard of, would it?
No, Olympic are a great side. And I think outside of Deakin and Belconnen, who have really built themselves an old firm kind of thing happening in Canberra, Olympic are just about the best of the rest.
And ANU only went down 2-1, I think, the previous week to Belconnen. So... you know, interesting times,
mm-hmm.
and good to see somebody taking initiative to do something different.
Absolutely.
You know, and they've got a great setup there at ANU. So so this weekend's games, we've got, who have we got, Aaron?
Well, Narrabundah, we're playing against Queanbeyan City.
Start with the best, that's right. Yep, okay, that's the big one this weekend because Narrabundah need to win.
Woden Canberra FC in our group as well. We want Canberra FC to knock up a lot of goals there, kill off Woden's goal difference. Then we've got... Canberra FC's Premier League pathway team against O'Connor Knights. Premier League pathway team's doing terrible, and I fully expect O'Connor Knights to win that.
I thought they'd be a little bit better than that.
But... me too. They lost to those Woden rivals, and do you know who they are?
No.
But they've got a real real grudge match happening with Narrabundah because they started in Division 4 2 seasons ago. They played us in the grand final, and then both of the teams moved up to Division 2. Every time we play them, it's fiery games, there's hard tackles and all that stuff. Then they won Division 2 last year. Their Division 1 team was quite... ordinary, and I hear they're going to swap divisions and their Div 2 team is moving up. So they've come all the way from Div 4 and now they're taking part in the Fed Cup and beating Deakin's Premier
League. Who are the Woden rivals? Are they part of Woden Valley?
Yeah, they're part of Woden Valley.
So
they started as a state league team and now they're moving their way up and they're up in Div 1 now.
So again, shows the strength of the club, I guess, Woden Valley, that they've got a Premier team and a strong state league team.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. So, okay, also we've got the White Eagles versus Actas and Western Creek versus Canberra City. Belconnen versus Canberra Olympic and ANU FC versus Tuggeranong.
I think ACTAS will go down against White Eagles just because ACTAS is just full of 14-year-olds that just can't compete with the guys. I think Canberra City will probably get up and Kevin Room, the far post host, will score a goal. And what were the other games? I missed them.
Belconnen and Canberra Olympic. Belconnen already through, I think.
Yeah, that'll be tough. I think Belconnen will probably get up and... ANU and Tuggeranong, ANU on current form, and I guess I don't know anything about them. I'll tip them for the hell of it.
Yeah, why not? Okay, and I think that's all from myself and Danny and Aaron, spouting the airwaves about football in Canberra and across Australia. So thanks very much, guys. Aaron, thanks very much for coming in. Short notice, but appreciate it. And Danny, even shorter notice.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it even more,
if that's possible. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you're going to the near post, defending or attacking, if you're going to the near post, get there first.
Post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.